And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Hello, friends. I'm Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today we're going to be looking at what I am convinced is one of the more important issues of the entire Bible. And if you don't understand what I'm talking to you about today, you're not going to understand anything. But if you do understand it, well, praise God for you. You're going to understand almost everything in the Bible. And you're going to have pleasure reading the Word of God. It's going to be a great joy to you and a wonderful blessing. Now, see, there I come offering a blessing to you. How many are going to refuse a blessing? I'm not going to refuse any. I need all the blessing I can get. And so today I want to take you to the book of Galatians in the Bible, where we're going to study something, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be powerful. And I think possibly, unless you've really been studying this, it's going to, you're going to have some, what do you call that? Illumination? I know I'm a little dangerous talking about becoming illuminated, but there's nothing wrong with the word illuminated. I don't mean Illuminati, but, you know, God is the light and he dispels the darkness. He wants you to come into his light and to know the knowledge that he has for you. I mean, it's amazing to me when a person comes to know Jesus Christ and is born again, John 3, in spirit and in truth, he just wakes up. He's awakened to so many things. Life becomes new for him. I know I was awakened at one time in my life, and boy, you know, like the light bulb just comes on. You know, Edison and Tesla together standing right beside you to inspire you. Well, today we're going to be talking about faith. Faith and the covenant. Now, before you say, oh, no, those are old issues. I mean, I'm going to get bored. No, you're not going to get bored. Get out a pencil and paper, or a pen and paper. Write some things down. You're going to enjoy it. First of all, I want to take you to Galatians chapter 3. Now, let's go to chapter 2. That's where the fun starts. Because Paul had just straight-laced some of the other disciples. He had given a tongue-lashing to the other disciples because they just weren't acting right. You know, they did what the Gentiles do. They ate their dinners with the Gentiles. But as soon as the other Jews came around, suddenly they couldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. Okay? And he says, when I saw, Paul says in verse 14 of Galatians 2, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compelleth thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He says, why are you compelling the Gentiles to live like the Jews? Why do you want the Gentiles to be like the Jews? That's what Paul said. You know, many in the Messianic so-called Christian Judaism movement, they want to bring people into Judaism, and they want to give you all the festivals and all the, they want you to observe different days and this and that, and that learn about this shawl and the yarmulke, and you've got to, they want you to call their minister a rabbi, and they want you to become a Jew, don't they? Well, Paul said to Peter, he said, I could see they weren't walking right. They weren't walking upright after the gospel. And I said, why are you compelling the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Boy, that's a question that ought to be asked everywhere today. I mean, you go to Christian churches and they want you to be a Jew. Today we're going to blow the shofar, you know, the horn, and we're going to do all these Jewish things. We're going to do the hatikvah dancing. Do-do-do-do, you know, all this stuff. We're going to learn about the old tabernacle, and we're going to do all these things and blah, blah. We're going to be Jews, basically. And I know a pastor that, I mean, I would tune on the television just see what he was preaching on Sunday morning from home, and he preached on the Old Testament every week. Well, you know, we got a New Testament too, a new covenant, but he all he learned in his people, they only knew about David and Solomon, and I mean, those are okay, but we've already had our teacher come. You know, when you're just milling around in the classroom and you're sitting around shooting the breeze, you're waiting on your teacher. You really can't start instruction, but when the teacher comes, he pulls out the book and he starts teaching you from it. You better start taking notes. You better start paying attention. Well, Jesus Christ is our teacher and he came. And you better get with the Gospels all the way to Revelation. You better know what the New Testament says. That's first. The Old Testament, absolutely. But my goodness, most people don't even know the New Testament. They don't know one thing about it. That's where I have all my troubles from people. They talk about Israel. Well, are you talking about the physical Israel or the spiritual Israel? Well, I'm just talking about Israel. No, you're not. You're talking about the physical. Well, I suppose so. And they get it all mixed up. Friends, if you don't know the difference between physical Israel and spiritual Israel, you're lost. Now, what Paul says is this in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Get it? Now, right away he says, you've got to know that a man is not justified. You're not saved. You're not on your way to glory by the law. That was the old Mosaic covenant. They had all these laws, do this, do that, taste this, taste that, don't do this, don't do that. Then they added on all their manly things too that they should never have added so badly that Jesus said, you have for your religion, he told the Jews, you have for your religion the traditions of men rather than of God. And today they have the Babylonian Talmud written by the rabbis. That's what they study. They don't even study in their yeshivas, their religious academies. They don't even study the Old Testament. The Jews only study the works of men. Well, this Bible I've got in my hand right now has an Old and New Testament. It's the study of God's Word. That's what you want to know, friends. I have a whole library here full of men's words. Some are true, some are not, some are half true. Some, you know, propaganda. Some are just lies. And some are true, but they're just man's word. I want to know God's word. That's first. Don't you? A man is not justified by the works of the law. The law never saved anybody. What, Tex? You mean all those Jews died? They lived in vain? They studied under the law. Now, the law was a nice pattern of things, but it was flawed, the Bible says. Jesus came and brought a better covenant. The law never saved a person. It was a template that God used. And then finally, he gave us the real thing. It was just a shadow. You know, one time I took a college class, and my textbook, I was the professor, and the textbook didn't come in time. We ordered a textbook and they didn't send it in time. And I had to teach four or five classes without a textbook. And I tried, you know, I had my textbook, but the students didn't have one. I tried to give them good notes and make sure they followed me, but I know it was difficult. They didn't have a textbook. Then we got the textbook and everything was righted. I gave them each a copy and showed them where we were. And, you know, we sort of got back on target there. Well, Jesus came and he brought his textbook. Before that, it was just you're sort of taking notes and trying to learn and all that. But Jesus brought the real thing. He was, he is the real thing. By the works of the law, it says here in verse 16, shall no flesh be justified. There has never been a human being on this entire planet that has been saved by works, by doing the works of the law. I say that on the authority of God. Never has a man been saved by just performing the works of the law. Now, the Jewish law currently has 613 laws in their halakha, their Talmud. And if it were possible to even know all those 613, to study all of them for years, and try your best to perform them, you couldn't do it. Let me explain something to you, friends. It was because some men had the faith of Abraham that they were justified. That's right. They had the faith of Abraham. Abraham himself had faith. And faith, boy, that covers a lot of things. He was saved because of his faith. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have a book. It was written on his heart what he was to do. Just like Christians today. But we also have this Bible. But if I didn't have this Bible, I would still be a good Christian because I have the Holy Spirit in me, guiding me, writing in my heart, telling me what to say, what to do, how to behave. Isn't that wonderful? You can go to the darkest part of Africa and preach to a man of Jesus, and he's not going to tell you, well, I'd like to know about that Bible. I want to be saved. If he wants to be saved, tell him about Jesus Christ and what Jesus did for him and pray with him, the sinner's prayer, and he'll accept Jesus. And the man has never read from the Bible in his entire life. Did you understand that? He accepts Jesus. He's just as much a Christian as you are. He's never read from a Bible in his whole life, never even seen one, maybe. But if I were you, I'd give him one as soon as I could. That'll bless him greatly to have the Bible. If they put me on a desert island or put me in the darkest dungeon and said, you've got just one book that you can have in here, I'd say, well, praise God. I've got everything. I've got everything. Give me the Bible. They said, well, that's two books, the Old and the New Testament. Which one do you want? I say, give me the New Testament. That's the one where Jesus comes. That's the one where Jesus tells us what we're to do. Give me that one. And if they gave me that one, well, I'd just sort of, you know, sit on my jail cell all day long, praising God, reading the Bible. Wouldn't bother me to be in jail. Wouldn't bother me at all. Now, think about that. The grace of God is what saves you. That's what saved Abraham. And it saves every person. If you have the faith of Abraham today in 2013 or 2014, you come to know Jesus Christ. And that's why in verse 29, Galatians chapter 3, it says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You're the seed of Abraham. You're an heir of God according to the promise. What promise? Heavenly Jerusalem. You have a kingdom. You have been translated into the kingdom already. A lot of people say, well, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. I beg to differ with you, friend. It's already here. And if you know Jesus, you're already in the kingdom. There are two kingdoms right here. The kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. If you know Jesus Christ, if you've got the faith of faithful Abraham, then you're Abraham's seed. And you're an heir to the promise given Abraham. He was given a promise, and you likewise have a promise. And that's the only way you'll receive heaven. No Jew can receive heaven through the Old Testament, through the Old Covenant. It's flawed. It's vanished. It's gone. But Jesus brought a new and better covenant. That's why so many men come to me, pastors. They've got some long PhD degree. I mean, you know, now look, I'm prideful enough, I shouldn't be, to know that I've got a better education than most of those men. I graduated summa cum laude from Park University with a degree in political science. Then I went on to North Carolina State University where I got a master's degree in education in psychology and adult and community college education. And since then, well, you know, I've written 40 some odd books and produced about 30 or 40 videos, and I've got the equivalent of several PhDs in different subjects. I've taught at three universities. I've taught political science, introduction to political science. I've taught American state and local government. I've taught, you know, American government. I've taught psychology. And these people think they know the Bible. They don't know the Bible. What I've told you already today, they don't know. They're foolish. They're bewitched. And they tell me the Jews can get to heaven with their own covenant. And I've just read to you, by no person, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That is Galatians 2, verse 16. Do you believe that? Or do you believe some stupid guy with a PhD, meaning pile high and deeper in some university, who doesn't know diddly squat about the Bible? Well, no, the Jews, they're going to keep their covenant. And you know, if they follow their covenant, they're going to be saved. And shut up, you're an idiot. Oh, Tex, don't call them idiots. Oh, that's not a man of God. He wouldn't call the rabbi an idiot. He wouldn't, you know, say they were of the devil. He wouldn't. Well, Jesus did. He did. Don't you know it hurt Jesus badly to go into the temple there in Jerusalem? And for the Pharisees and the scribes, that's the people that supposedly knew the law and knew about from Moses on, they came to him and said, Master, how about this or that? Finally, he got tired of answering their questions. From henceforth, I will answer none of your questions. They were only asking questions trying to catch him. Master, look at the inscription on this coin. It has Caesar's inscription. His face is on this coin. Should we obey Caesar? Trying to catch him. He said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God's what is God's. He knew everything they were going to ask and did ask. And zillions of information, data points, more than they could ever even ask. He's the Son of God. He knew it all. Don't you think it when I see something in the Bible and it's so clear like this, what I'm telling you today, and then I talk to some guy who's a pastor of some big Baptist church, 5,000 members, and he says, well, the Jews still have their covenant. And that's how they can get to heaven. And these people don't even know the Bible. I mean, a third grade level janitor from the 14th Baptist church knows what the Bible says, but they don't. They're going to perish in their lack of knowledge. And I don't feel sorry for them. They went to some university. They went to some, you know, Southwestern or Southeastern Theological Seminary or whatever. Or the Assembly of God went down in Springfield, Missouri, and they learned nothing. Well, they learned a few things, I suppose. Don't want to exaggerate, but not much. Number 18, he says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What he's saying is, If I try to live under the law, when I try to go back to the old covenant, when we've got a new covenant under Christ, I'm building again the things which I destroyed. When you come to know Jesus Christ, and you're saved, when you have that faith, and you believe, and God cleanses you from all sin, and you begin as a new creature in Christ, under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost is your only teacher, or I should say the greatest teacher. And then after that, you go back and try to build again on it. You've already, Christ Jesus is the only foundation. And then you look at your foundation, you say, I'm going to build a marvelous house on this foundation. But this foundation isn't good enough. I've got to go out and get a second foundation. I got to go back and get the old covenant of the Jews and lay it onto this foundation. Have you ever seen a house that had two foundations? That's unstable, friends. You better have a solid block of concrete, and it better sit on bedrock, or it's going to be unstable. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. You want to go back to the old covenant after becoming a Christian under the new covenant? You're a transgressor. You're a sinner. You're a horrible person. You're doubting what God did in your life. And this is what the Jews are. They're doubters. They're skeptics. We don't need the new foundation of Jesus Christ. We've got our old covenant. You don't have anything. The old covenant is dead. It will always be dead. It will never be revived. The Jews will never again have their old covenant because it's vanished. It perished because Jesus Christ came and he said, I have the new covenant and I'm sealing it with my own blood. And Jesus sealed it with his own blood on the cross. And then you have the audacity to come out and say, that's not good enough. That foundation is Jesus Christ. He didn't do anything for me. I want the old foundation back. I'll tell you what will happen. You become a transgressor. God will give you the old covenant back by which no man, no flesh has ever been saved, and you will go straight to hell. Every pastor listening to me out there, every Baptist, every Assembly of God, every Methodist, if you try to build again the things which you destroy, that's right, they were destroyed when you became a Christian, if you really became one. You probably didn't. Or you'd understand this. You can't build again the things which were destroyed. God wanted the old covenant out. He wanted it destroyed. It never really worked. It was only a template. He came. He brought the new covenant. And now he says, I have a new foundation for you. The blood of the cross. You can build on that. It's a sure foundation. I'll make you a citizen of my new Jerusalem. Forget about the earthly Jerusalem. Look up to the heavenly Jerusalem. And you have the audacity to say, I don't want the heavenly Jerusalem. I like my city here. I want to build on this city. I want to give money to the Temple Mount Foundation or whatever. I want them to build the temple of Herod or Solomon or whatever you're going to do in Jerusalem. I'm going to promote the Jews. No, what you're going to do is promote Satan. You become a transgressor. Don't fight God, my friends. You'll never win. He destroyed Jerusalem. He said not one stone will be left on another in that temple. And you attempt to go and build it back again so that they can go in there and conduct those sacrifices when Jesus was the one sacrifice for all time. When Jesus did it, he did it right. Verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Don't you get that, Pastor? How plain does it have to be? You're frustrating the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. John Hagee, don't you get that? Southern Baptist leaders, don't you understand? Assembly of God, Pentecostal. Don't you understand? Don't you get it? Righteousness does not come by the law. No flesh is justified by the law. If it did, then Christ died in vain. Why did he die on the cross? John Hagee, why did Jesus die on the cross?
Oh, he died for the Gentiles. He didn't die for the Jews.
Wow. He died for the Gentiles and not the Jews?
That's right, because the Jews didn't need him because they had their own covenant.
No, then Christ died in vain. You're saying Christ Jesus died in vain if he didn't die for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life. Listen. God loved the whole world. He gave his son for the whole world, not just the Gentiles. That's insane. In chapter 3, I love this. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now, he's writing this letter. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing a letter to the Galatians. The Galatians were nice people. They'd come to know Jesus. They had, you know, a church there meeting in people's homes or whatever. But he calls them foolish. Why would he do that? Paul didn't mince many words, did he? He was a guy. In chapter 2, he stood up to Peter and them all, right in front of them all, and said, why are you compelling the Gentiles to do as the Jews do? Why do you do that? That's wrong. Here, he's writing to the Gentiles, calling them foolish. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Why don't you believe that? Why don't you accept this as a great truth? Jesus Christ has been crucified. This is the truth. Don't you understand that? You're bewitched. You're foolish. Now listen, friends, I would not want an apostle of God to write me a letter telling me I was bewitched. I wouldn't want that. Man, I couldn't sleep nights knowing I had a letter written to me like that. How about you? How would you like to get a letter from the Apostle Paul or Peter or James? They said in their letter, oh, foolish man, why are you bewitched? Man, I thought I was a good Christian. I thought I was obeying the truth. But you're saying I'm bewitched. You're saying I'm foolish. Please, please tell me how I can get away from that onus. Get away from that accusation. Because it's obviously the truth. Paul wouldn't tell them that unless it was true. I mean, the Galatians, they better listen up. This is how he opens up to them. He doesn't say, hello, dear Galatians. I'm writing to you today from so-and-so. It's a beautiful day here. You know, the price of the tea in China is such and such today. He writes and says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Man, that's heavy. Now, when we return in a minute, I'm going to tell you why they're bewitched. But you know, don't you? They've been brought back to the old law. They've been told you're Gentiles, but you got to start acting like you're Jews. You got to do what the Jews do. Even though you're Greeks, you're Gentiles. Because after all, the Jews are more wise than you. Even though they don't have Jesus, why, they know all the laws. And they have the scribes and the Pharisees. And they're so pious, and they're so perfect, and they obey all these laws. You need to learn their laws and start doing their laws. You need to start calling your pastor rabbi. And you need the Talmud, and you need all these things. You need to know about the high holy days of the Jews. Oh, that's right. You Gentiles, you can just never be as holy as the Jews. That's what they were told. But was it true? I'll be back in just a minute. I'm Tex Mars, and you're listening to Power of Prophecy. Today's topic is, O foolish man, who hath bewitched you? Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. I'd like to talk to you on a personal level today about the ministry, Power of Prophecy,
and about what you can do to help us here. Now, I want you to know that we really have been suffering in the financial realm. And, you know, I know that everyone is strapped for money these days. And I mean, goodness gracious, with President Obama lying to everybody and everyone needing health care and such. And they're telling you the economy is just booming when you and I know different. And everything is rising in price, isn't it, at the food store? And homes are going up in price, rocketing upwards. But we need your help at Power of Prophecy. Now, I don't talk about money much here. I offer a book or a video. But I rarely talk to you and say, hey, folks, we need your help. Now, we're about the only ministry in the world that does what we do. And we just tell it like it is. We've been here for 27 years and we haven't changed anything. We still believe in Jesus Christ. We still believe in this Bible. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we don't change at all. Now, many ministries out there, they've sort of grown soft and they're starting to promote homosexuality, or they keep their mouths shut, or, you know, they're 501c3 tax exempt entities, but not us. We don't accept subsidies from the government. We don't accept anybody, any money from the government at all. We need your help. Let me just be bluntly with you. We need your help. Now, how much can you give? Would you ask yourself that? Would you pray today and say, how much can I give Power of Prophecy? I'm not saying 10% to tithe to us. If you could, that would be wonderful. But if every family out there listening to me would just give us $50 a month, we could make it. Now, this last year, Wanda and I, we did the income, and over the last yearly period, well, we didn't make anything. For us, we have paid our employees, of course, but they haven't had a pay raise here in 2 or 3 years. The only extra money they got was by you good folks sending to our employees fund. And I thank you for that. But as far as Wanda and I, you know, people write to me and they say, you must be getting rich from those books and all those videos. Let me be honest with you, friends. I don't get any royalties from these books and videos. Every cent goes back into the ministry. And over the last year, Juan and I didn't make anything. We made nothing. Now, I'm not complaining about that, but, you know, a man's got to live. I have to eat and everything else. Now, I have savings. I use my savings. I'm not telling you we're going to close our doors. I'm not going to pull that on you. I'm not saying we're going to have to shut our radio down or stop sending out the newsletter or stop helping the orphans home. I'm not going to do any of those things. If you will give, we will continue in everything that we do. Now, we're a thorn in the side of Big Brother. We are. We expose all these things. I believe if you don't have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of press, well, you're not going to be able to preach the gospel. That's why it's important to continue to fight for our constitutional rights. If you don't pay any attention to keeping the freedoms that we have in America, pretty soon you won't have any freedoms. We won't preach the gospel, and we'll just have to shut down because we can't even preach. As it is now, we've been visited by the IRS and the FBI and all these things. Why are you saying that? Who gives you authority to say that? My goodness, the Bible gives us authority. So they had to leave, and they weren't too happy that they didn't get any satisfaction out of me. It's been some years since the IRS, all of them, have been back. I'll tell them the same thing again and again and again and again. Let me tell you something, friends. I work for God, but I also work for you. I'm your ambassador. I'm your representative. Can you trust your House of Representatives, Congressman? Can you trust your senator? You know you can't. It doesn't matter if they're Republicans. They're Republicans in name only. They're rhinos. Or they're Democrats. Goodness gracious. And you don't have to worry about Tex Mars. I'm not going to suddenly say, well, abortion is okay if... No, it's never okay. It's murder. I'm not going to suddenly say, well, if a man wants to marry a man, that's good. No. That's evil. That's not right. You understand that this is your ministry. Power of Prophecies is your ministry. I work for you under God. So in effect, we both work for God. You and I. And I'm going to continue the ministry until I die. But you're going to have to give more to help us. Now, if you're on Social Security and you're not making much and, you know, and I'm not asking you to give. I want you to eat food. I want you to have heat for your homes. I want you to live a good life. But what you have extra, if God puts it on your heart to give, we need it. Don't put us, you know, okay, I'm going to give to these five ministries. Put us up at the top. I'm just bold enough to say it. What are those other ministries doing for you? We're telling the truth to the world. And many times, you know, people say to me, aren't you making a lot of money with your books? No, we don't make money with our books or our videos. It all goes back into the ministry. And a lot of times bookstores get very angry over the books that I write. Now, I could sit down and I'm one of the best writers in the world. I could write books on any subject. I could write bestsellers left and right. I have in the past written top, you know, number one Christian bestsellers. I mean, I know what sells, but I also know what God wants me to write. If God says, Tex, I want you to emphasize this subject, that's it. Now, I've talked to people and they say, well, that book's just going to make stores mad at you. Then they won't offer your other books. Well, so be it. That video, oh, that's going to get them inflamed. You're going to get enemies from that. Well, that's okay. I wake up every morning with a smile on my face. I do. I wake up every morning with a smile on my face. And listen, you just talk to Wanda, my wife. We go to the breakfast table every morning, and I just laugh. I smile. Good morning. I look at it. It's a sunny day. It's a miserable day today, let me tell you. It's wet. It's cold. But for me, it's wonderful. Another day to please God, to do what God wants me to do. I'm at the top of the world. I'm president of the universe because I work for God. What other job could you have? And besides that, I have you on my team. Can you imagine? It's like every morning I come to my office and here you are sitting in my office. You're going to give me some advice. You're going to tell me what to do. You're going to pray for me. I'm on top of the world, folks, but I need your help. Now, how many times have I given you a little talk like this? I don't know that I've ever done that. But we're right there, I'm telling you. And I'm seeing the money that we have for the ministry project for this Christmas is not as much as it once was. The employees, the staff fund that we have, there's not as much there. But I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to take your paycheck and say, well, I'll eat less this month. Oh, no. Goodness gracious. Don't do that. Call us toll free 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Of course, you can send that to Power of Prophecy, 1708. That's 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. But please, if you can give, please do. Now let's go to our regular program. This, of course, is Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars, and we're really looking at the Word of God today. And we're looking at chapter 3 of Galatians, where Paul told the Galatians, Gentiles, Greeks, he said, you're foolish. Somebody's bewitched you. That you should not obey the truth. Wow. And then he tells them the truth. I like Paul because he tells them exactly what's wrong and then explains it. He says, are you so foolish having begun in the spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Oh yeah, that's the whole, this is what is at issue here. I get pastors all the time calling me and they say, well, this or that about the Jews, it's okay for the Jews to keep their own covenant. I say, no, it's not. Well, yes, it is. And it all comes down to the fact that they don't understand the spiritual. The spirit is the only thing that counts in this entire world. God is spirit. Jesus Christ is spirit. And you and I, someday we're going to be like them. I don't know exactly our form or whatever. But we too are going to be somehow some spiritual being. We're going to have some glorified body. But when you come to know Jesus, whether you're Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. When you begin in the spirit, you believe in Jesus Christ, you have the faith of Abraham in spirit and in truth. You didn't even know who Abraham was. That's irrelevant. You have faith. Let me tell you, when I got on my knees at age 16 or so, and I said, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I believed him. I knew he was going to come in my heart. I didn't have any doubt he did come in my heart. And it was right before I was to go to sleep. And let me tell you, I slept like a baby that night. I slept wonderful. I couldn't wait to wake up the next day. I couldn't wait to go tell all my friends. And I was a pretty bad boy, too, back then, you know. Doing a lot of things I shouldn't have done. But I didn't want to do them anymore. I began in the spirit. Jesus came in my heart. I was born again in spirit and in truth. He says, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Can you put on the flesh again after having been born again through the spirit? Don't do that. That's building on the very things which you destroyed. I destroyed my previous life. I destroyed all the sinful wickedness when I was 16. I was made whole again. I was cleansed. Why did I want to go back to that other life for? He therefore, this is verse 5, that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You know about miracles. You know about God's miracles, what he's done in your life. Were those miracles done by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, I believe Abraham was a good man and had a lot of good works. But that didn't save him. No. He believed. Tex Mars believed. I can't say that I had any good works, but I believed and it was accounted to me for righteousness. And so I began in the spirit. Have you ever begun in the spirit to worship God? Then you know what it is to be a Christian. You began your life in the spirit. Now, don't take away the spirit by trying to put on all the things of the flesh. Don't try to go back to the old covenant that failed everyone, that never saved anyone. You have Jesus. Every Jew can have Jesus who wants him. Every Gentile can. Every human being that listens to my voice today and those who don't also. And the scripture, well, first of all, verse 7 says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You want to know who the children of Abraham are, who the seed of Abraham are? It's not physical Israel. It's not physical Israel. It's not physical Israel. The children of Abraham are those which have faith. If at some point in your life you've had the faith and you've grasped on to Jesus Christ, or I should say he grasped on to you. That's sort of the way it happens, isn't it? It's like, you know, you used to speak to the young men and we used to tell them, you know, they they chased the girl, you know, till the girl caught them. You ever heard that one? Yeah, they chased after the girl until the girl caught them. Well, that's sort of like Jesus. You chase after Jesus and someday he's going to catch you. And the scripture, verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that's those unsaved, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There we go. There was the blessing. Now back in Genesis, it says God that God promised Abraham a blessing. And I've had so many people say, that blessing was the land of Israel. Really? That's not much of a blessing. If God promised me all the land of Texas, that wouldn't be much of a blessing. Because the day I die, that all goes to someone else. I want something better than that. I'm just greedy, right? I want something in heaven. I want to know Jesus loves me. I want to know I have an eternal possession. And land is really of no use whatsoever. Oh, you say, well, how about the person that owns the King Ranch? That's the biggest ranch in the whole world. That's down in Texas, isn't it? That's nothing. That's God has all the planets in the universe, all of them. They're a zillion times larger cumulatively than Earth. What good is that going to do you when you die? You don't get it anymore, friends. Your name goes off the register. Someone else's name is put down as the legal heir of that land. You know what I'm saying. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. From the day of Abraham, the minute that he accepted Jesus until today, everyone who believes is blessed with faithful Abraham. You are a Christian, you're of Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Wow. Woo! You're under a curse. So you come to know Jesus, and then you want to know the law too. I want to obey the laws. I want to be like the Jews. I want to be a good person. I want the old covenant. You're a fool. You're bewitched. Now you're cursed. The Jews are cursed if they obey the law. You say that can't be because the law has to be. There's so many good things to the law and not that good. There's a curse attached to it. Verse 12 says, and the law is not of faith. Did you get that? They have no faith. Well, not any, maybe they may have some. The law is not of faith. Verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. He came so that every person who had the faith of Abraham, who had faith in him, Jesus Christ, could escape the curse of the law. That the blessing, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's so plain. It's so evident. It's not your blood. It's not your bloodline. I've already proven here with my book, DNA Science and the Bloodline of the Jews, that the Jews are not even Israelites. But if they were, that would not save them. They're still under the curse. They're still bewitched. The blessing that Abraham got does not come on the Jews. You understand that, folks? The Jews are not blessed. They said to Jesus, the Jews said, well, Abraham is our father. He said, no, he's not. You don't believe in Abraham. If you believed in Abraham, you'd believe in me. Verse 23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. You didn't even have faith. You're the law. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. That is the reason for the law. That's the only reason. That we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Isn't that interesting? For ye, now listen to this, this is the key. For ye are all the children of God by faith. That's Gentile, Jew, everything. The children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We're all one. Now the dispensationalists try to keep the Jews separate from the Christians. And now when we're raptured, now the Jews are going to have a Jewish kingdom here on earth. And they're going to start, they're going to bring back their sacrifices and rebuild the temple. And what? God cannot be worshipped in a temple built with human hands, it says in the Bible. He will not be worshipped in a temple built with human hands. And if the Jews build a temple, it's to Satan. And if ye be Christ, verse 29, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. My goodness. That's it. That's powerful, isn't it? Now, I want to tell you, I don't have much time. I've got to tell you about chapters 4 and 5 of Galatians. Please, do me a favor. Since I'm not going to have time, I want you to promise me you'll read this. Promise me you'll get out your Bible and you will read chapter 4, chapter 5, even chapter 6. These are powerful. And they're going to tell you something that no pastor undoubtedly has ever taught you. I want you to read chapter 4, chapter 5. And you go tell your pastor about them. They'll go, I've never heard that before. That's in the Bible? That's what they'll tell you. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Listen to this. Tell me, verse 21 of Galatians chapter 4. Ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written, now listen to this, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by bondmaid, the other by free woman. Didn't he have the slave girl, Hagar? And he had his wife, Sarah. He had two women. And they each bore him a son, did they not? But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Sarah's child was by promise. She was too old to bear a child. But God promised Abraham and Sarah a child. But Hagar was born, was promised a child, and that was after the flesh. It was of a fleshly relationship between her and Abraham. Which things, now get this, verse 24, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants. Oh my goodness. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. Now here again, we're talking about the two covenants. One is the Mosaic covenant. The other is the covenant of Jesus. There are only two covenants in this world, folks. These things, it's an allegory. That story is true, but it's an allegory. It's true, Abraham had two sons. One by the slave girl, the bond girl. The other by his wife. The wife was the free woman. And her son was by promise. Her son was who? Isaac. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem. That means corresponds. It's the same as Jerusalem. Which now is and is in bondage with her children. Hagar corresponds to Jerusalem. The bond woman is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is in slavery to the devil. With her children, she's in bondage. But Jerusalem, which is above, heavenly Jerusalem that is free, which is the mother of us all. Folks, he's telling you that Jerusalem and Israel, the physical Israel, the physical Jerusalem, is of the slave girl and is in bondage to the devil. But if you know Jesus Christ, you have another covenant, a covenant of the promise, a covenant that makes you a free man or woman. And your capital, your city, your great nation is in heaven. It's heavenly Jerusalem. There's the two covenants. Now, I've always heard that the Arabs were of Hagar. I've always heard Isaac was connected to physical Israel. But he's telling you that this story is an allegory. And it talks about the two covenants. We're not talking about two empires. We're not talking about physical Israel and physical Arabia. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. The desolate. Who is desolate? Jerusalem. Jesus prophesied in Matthew, he said, behold, your house, the house of Israel, the physical house of Israel, is left unto you desolate. Now we, brethren, he's talking to the Christians, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. That's why you're of Abraham. You're of Isaac. You're the children of promise. You correspond to, or you're connected to, you answereth to heavenly Jerusalem, dear friends. It doesn't matter if you're Gentile or Jewish. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so is it now. Wow. The bondwoman, Hagar, had a son. And then we had Isaac, the son of Sarah. We are after Isaac. We're after the, we have the promise. But the son of the flesh, the son of hell, he persecutes the son of the promise. Isn't that the way it always is? That's why the Jews today, the Khazar Jews, the other Jews, they persecute us. They persecute Christians across the face of this globe. They hate us. They have their old covenant. They believe it's the covenant. But it's the covenant of hell. They that are born after the flesh persecute us, we Christians, who are the children of promise. Israel, physical Israel, persecutes you and me. The Jews of this world, they lie, they cheat, they steal, anything to deceive Christians because they're the sons of hell. We are the sons of the promise. Nevertheless, read verse 30. What saith the scripture? Now this is powerful. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Wow. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman. Cast out Hagar. Cast out physical Israel. That's desolate. They're the sons of hell. They want to persecute you. They're the synagogue of Satan. Cast them out. They shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. That's you and me. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is Judaism and its covenant. Don't be entangled with that. You're set free in the liberty. Christ Jesus has given you liberty, has made you free. Don't get entangled with all the days and the holidays and the Jewish days and these feast days and all the rabbinical nonsense. Be free. Have liberty in Christ Jesus. Praise God. This has been Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy, and it's my prayer you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.